Reading from God's Word this morning. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 8 down to verse 23. 2 Kings chapter 6, and reading from verse 8 down to verse 23. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he took counsel with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he was warned. He was watching there, and not just once, but twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I might send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was the army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Syria. So it was that when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" And he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. May indeed God bless unto us the reading from his holy, living, and precious word. Amen. Let's turn. We have in our reading this morning two incidents that speak of the greatness of God. The one tells of his all-knowing omniscience, and whilst the other is his great power, his omnipotent power. The first tells us of the plan of a king of Syria to invade Israel and to come upon them unaware. We have that from verses 8 to verse 12. The second says that the Syrian king wants to capture the man of God. Something has gone wrong with his planning. There is an enemy in the camp, and we want to wheedle him out. But a servant of the king says, no, there is a prophet in Israel. And the king wants to get this prophet, Elisha. But just like many people then and now, this king doesn't take God, the true and living God, into his thinking. We too easily try to do things ourselves without taking God into our reckoning. Without his helping hand in the situations we find ourselves in. So let us look at these two incidents and by the Holy Spirit's guidance and help apply the conclusion to our lives in this day and our generation. Because this is God's word. And God's word speaks to our hearts and lives today. It's not just an old book for old people years ago, and it's not relevant today. It is relevant today. And here we see these two things. The first we can see is this king of Israel, he wants to make war with Israel. And so he sets out where he's going to go, where he's going to attack. And Elisha, by God's providence and by God's help, tells the king of Israel, look, don't go that way. Don't go down anywhere near there because the king of Syria is coming that way. And we are told in God's word that this just doesn't happen once or twice. It happens quite a few times. And so the king of Syria says, look, there is a spy here. Somebody is telling the king of Israel where we are going. And so this servant comes and says, no, your master, no, king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And so this points to us that we can never keep anything from God in anything and everything we do or even think. God knows what we are about. He knows where we are. Therefore, the king of Israel was greatly troubled by this and called his servants and said, will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel? No, says the servant. Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, knows exactly all about your situation. Tells you where you are going. And so the king of Syria then, he wants to get this man of God to stop him telling the king of Israel where the king of Syria is going to invade. You see, sometimes we think the same, don't we? We think we're going to do this and we want to do that. We want to do it our way. I've said many, many times that I hate that song of Frank Sinatra's, I Did It My Way. Because it proclaims we can do things our way without anybody else's intervention. But men and women have to realize that there is a God in heaven who sees, knows everything we do or say. And this king of Israel must, this king of Syria must realize this. But he doesn't. He said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. I want to get this man because he is telling the king of Israel where I'm going. I want to get him out of the way so that I can invade. And sometimes we want things out of our lives, don't we? We come to obstacles and situations in our lives and we say, well, where is God in this? Instead of saying, well, God, there's a situation now. Well, use me. What can I do in this situation? Help me. Give me an insight. The king of Syria should have realized that there was a God in Israel. And God was looking after and protecting his people. But he doesn't. He goes on in his own way, doing his own thing. And we see this in our daily walk, don't we? In our daily lives as we live. We look at our television screens and we look at our newspapers and we hear things on our radios and the people are going on as if this world is going to last and last and last. Just like they did in the days of Noah. Until that day when God said, Noah, get into that boat because I'm going to send the rain. And they laughed and they jeered at Noah. And they probably fell over in hysterics. We was told that when we were on the cruise, on one cruise, there was a comedian, and he was a very good comedian. And two people had to be taken out of the auditorium. Because they were laughing so much, they were interrupting the other people listening to this comedian. You see, sometimes we can do things that doesn't bear anything to what is being happening. Here's this situation. And so this king of Syria, he sends these men, his chariots and his army, to surround the city of Dothan where he's been told the prophet is. And he's there waiting. He's overnight, he comes, he surrounds the city, and he's there waiting for the dawn to go in and to get Elisha. There is a big, dark night ahead. And there is going to be that glorious dawning of a day when we will be with the Lord forever. And when the servant of the man of God rose early, he went out. And when there was the army surrounded the city. I wonder what our reaction would have been if we had been in that servant's situation. We saw the army around. The chariots, knowing that they were outnumbered greatly. Would we have panicked? I don't know if you've seen on your television screens this week of a bombing in Turkey and the people running away from the bomb in that airport. Panic. Strictly panic. But you see, there is a person in Israel who doesn't panic. That's Elisha. He doesn't panic. His servant cries, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" It's a panic situation. But here is the man of God, and he doesn't panic. His first words to the servant is, "Do not fear." So often we can get tight up in our lives and things and circumstances around us, and we want to panic. We panic. We don't know where to turn. But God tells us we are to trust him. We are to allow him to take control of the situation. We should turn to him and say, "Lord, there's the situation. I don't know how to get out of it, but I know you can help me, you can guide me, you can lead me. It's you can do it, not me." And so this tremendous verse 16, which says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him." Now, to all circumstances, here was this large army surrounding this small town of Dothan. How can there be more with us than with them? It seems impossible. And when we start to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, they laugh and jeer at us. Well, it's for old people. You know, the vast majority of the world don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, you're barking up the wrong tree. No, says the servant of God, because he's in close fellowship with God. He sees that no other sees. Why? Because God is with him. God has revealed to him that there are more with them than with the armies around them. And Elisha does a wonderful thing here. Although he says, do not fear, you can feel the gentleness of this calmness of mind of this man of God when he says, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, doesn't say scold him. He doesn't say, Lord, look, he can't be one of us, Lord, because he can't see what I can see. He says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And you know, that's what our situation has been, isn't it? Before we became a Christian, we were blind, we were deaf, we were unable to see what the Bible tells us and speaks to us about. We couldn't see the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for me. Yes, for other people, but for me personally, not really. Until our eyes are opened. And the Lord opened his eyes. Do you know, there have probably been people praying for us before we ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. People had been praying for us that we would be changed by the power of God. God would open our eyes to see. Do you know, God does a wonderful thing and opens eyes of blind people to see. Opened his eyes and the young man, and he saw. And he saw what Elisha saw. And Elisha saw the armies of the Lord all round, the chariots and the horses, chariots of fire all round. He says, look, you don't have to panic. Lord is with us. He surrounds us. And you see, in our lives, we have all these worldly things cramming in, and it can take us away from having a true fellowship with the Lord. And we can panic and we can say, well, what's going to happen? What's this? Be still. As we sang earlier, be still and know that I am God. So often we can be running here, doing this, doing that, this, that, and the other, instead of just sitting still and saying, be still and know that I am God. This is a tremendous incident that we as Christians can grasp. And although it challenges us, we can grasp it and we can take it and we can know the power of God in our lives. Just as this young servant knew, just as Elisha trusted that God is in control, this servant could say, wow, we are surrounded by the armies of God. Do you know, this is wonderful for us to know today. To know that we are surrounded by the arms of God. That we can know his presence in a real and deep way. And we can know his love, his mercy and grace in our lives so much so that we can face tomorrow what tomorrow can throw at us, we don't mind. I don't want to try to embarrass Doreen too much, but just before we left for the cruise, we gave an itinerary of the cruise to us, to our both sons, and an insurance for going. And Stephen, jokingly said, "Well, where do you want to be buried, at sea or at home, if anything happens?" And Doreen said, "I don't care where. I know where I'm going. I'm saved by the precious blood of Jesus. He's my Savior. I don't care. I know where I'm going." Stephen didn't say any more. We pray that God would work on his heart and life in that. That's the first situation here. The panic. The taking away of that panic and showing and revealing God's love and mercy and grace in his presence with his people in a situation that is hard to understand unless you are fully in the Lord. And this week, as you come to a new week, there may be things ahead that as yet you don't know anything about. But it may challenge you. It may speak to your hearts. And what God is saying here this morning is, do not fear. Do not fear. I am with you all the way. So when the Syrians came down to Elisha, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, strike this people, I pray, with blindness." Here's the opposite. It's like a two-headed coin, isn't it? It's got an opposite. Instead of opening his eyes as a servant, which he did, he now prays, "Lord, blind them, that they can't see." Now, there is a blindness that we cannot see. The world is blind to the gospel of Jesus Christ unless God opens it to them. There's a story told of a minister who used to be in this locality. He had a friend who was kind of a missionary who lived in Austria. And when the Iron Curtain was up, the person that was living in Austria, would take Bibles into communist lands. And he believed that he could do it without hiding things away. So he would fill up the boot of his car with Bibles, and in the back seats, all over the place. Wouldn't hide them, wouldn't put any cloths over them or anything. And he went up to the border, and every time he'd go through, the guards would look in his car, pick up the boot, look in the boot, and they wouldn't see the Bibles. They weren't blind, but they just couldn't see them there. And you know, sometimes it's like that with us, isn't it? When the Word of God comes, before we were saved, we were blind to the Word of God. We could see physically, but spiritually we were dead because we couldn't see. And sometimes we do that in our own lives, isn't it? We got things in our house. I know I'm the one, quite often. Used to be with keys. I got a bit better with keys at the moment. I used to put keys down, and I don't know where I put them. And I'd search high and low, and Doreen would say, "It's where you left them." And I'd say, "I don't know where I left them." And I'd say, "Oh," and when I found it, I remember now. And we'd look, and sometimes we'd go over things, and it's there, but you can't see it. And this is the blindness here. It wasn't that they were blind and they couldn't walk around, couldn't see. They were blind to the presence that the Holy Spirit had struck them. Blindness that they were unable to see Elisha as such. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way." He said, "I'll take you to the place that you want to go." And so he takes them to Samaria, right into the heart of Israel. And then when they come to Samaria, he says, Lord, open their eyes. They open their eyes and they realize they were in the enemy's territory. They were right in, surrounded by them. You see, the word of God is true, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it speaks to our hearts and lives. And it's got to, because it is the word of God. Some people are praying that, Lord, that they have a vision, that they might see God, Jesus coming down and touching this and touching. Even Herod, when Jesus went before him, sent by Pilate, he wanted to see Jesus. Why? Because he wanted to see a miracle of Jesus. He wanted to see something spectacular. And people of the world today are looking for spectacular things. God says, my word is sufficient. And it's God's word only that opens hearts and minds to the things of God, to turn people from their wicked ways, that they might come and know salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So there's the situation. Here's the situation. God is bringing about a miraculous, wonderful victory. Instead of defeat, there was victory. The enemy was defeated. And you know, the wonder of it, that not even a sword was opened from the sheath, not even was a bow arrow shot from the bow. Why? Because God was in control. God is in control. God knows all about us. We can hide things from people. We can hide things from even our own husband or wife, but we can never hide anything from God. He knows us deeper than we know ourselves. He calls us through his word. And there may be some this morning here who have been coming here for week in, week out, year in, year out, hearing the word of God preached faithfully from this pulpit over the years, and yet hasn't responded to the true word of God. What God is saying here, you're still blind. You may be able to see, but you're still blind to my word. What I want you to do is to allow my Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts, to open your blind eyes, your deaf ears, that I might change that heart which is stony against me into a heart of flesh, you might know me in a real and living way. In a sense, I want to laugh at what this king of Israel wants to do. He says, my father, shall I kill him? No, says Elisha, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Would you kill those who have you have taken captive with sword and your bow? Set food before them. They may eat and drink and go to their master. You see, they would be more of a testimony that way. They could go back and they could experience, tell the experiences that they've been through, and who knows? And we can tell others of what Jesus has done for us. We don't have to be shouting it out or whatever, but in the still, quiet voice, talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. His love, his mercy has been so great to us. We could never expect much more than what he's done for us, because he's done a lot. Everything that we have our own belongs to him. Our lives belong to him. He wants us to live a life that will bring glory and honor to his name. And that's all he wants us to do, is to believe. That our eyes would be open, that we would believe what Jesus has done for us on that cross at Calvary, that he died to save us from our sins. He rose victorious over death for our salvation. And you know what? He says, I'm coming again. There is a day coming And the world laughs and jeers at us when we say that. There's a day coming when the Lord will return with honor, with glory, with praise. And we shall be with him who know him. This morning, if you don't know him, if you don't know God in a real and living way, then I ask this morning that you would come in simple faith, in simple trust, and ask him to open your eyes to see in the word of God his salvation for you. That your ears might be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you through his word. And that heart of flesh, that stony heart of flesh, would be changed into the heart, a new heart that Ezekiel speaks of, that bring glory and honor unto his name. May God help us this morning to give him all the praise and all the glory and trust him more and more each day.